church. In our second week, we looked at the membership of the local church. We talked about the mandate of Christ and the metaphors and how we're called believers and how we're called a building and how we're called a body and how we're called a bride. Amen. But then we also looked at membership itself out of Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. We are members of His body. Amen. In our third week, praise God, I think was my favorite one of all these, and that was we looked at the authority of the local church. Where does the authority come from? Does it come from a council? Does it come from a board of deacons? Does it come from a pastor? No, no, and on the last one I'll say double no. Amen. It comes right here. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen. Everything that we know about the origin of the church, the ownership of the church, the originality of the church, the officers of the church, the ordinances of the church, the offerings of the church, and the order of the church, we get from this book. We don't just make it up as we go along. Amen. We get it from this book. And then last week, we looked at the pattern of the local church and some things that ought to pattern a local church. We talked about prayer. Prayer ought to be pattern of a local church. Amen. Pray. We talked about people. We talked about patience and a place to worship and power and preaching and purpose and position and progress and praise, which we just so well enjoyed. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, if you look at it with me, just kind of want to set the scene for the message, the context of Matthew chapter 28. Verses 1 through 6, very familiar. This is what we would call our Easter text. Amen? Verses 1 through 6. I think of my dear friend Phil Tharp, who got saved on Easter Sunday 1970, and he said he went to a church that was so cold and so dead, he used to call it the first church of the refrigerator. Amen? And he walked in, and they had two of those lecterns, the one on each side, Brother Brown, like out in New England at the old churches where you walked up, and maybe one was for the song leader. And they said this man, he went out, and he had the Word of God, and he walked up that lectern on Easter Sunday, and he read these verses. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him did the keepers shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Closed the book, went back over. My friend Phil Tharp said right there when he read those words, I trusted Christ as my Savior right there in the pew. And he said, in a church where probably nobody trusted Christ in 10 or 15 years. Said, I did that. It was the Word of God that did that. Amen. I think about that great portion on the resurrection. Verses 6 and 7, we see the instruction. Not only the resurrection, but notice the instruction. What did he say? He said, he's not here. He's risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And it said, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. If you look down at verse 10, you see more instruction there. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Praise God. Not only do we find the resurrection and the instruction, but we find the submission, don't we? Verses 8 and 9. It's one thing to get instruction. It's another thing to submit yourself to it. Amen? You see verses 8 and 9. What does it say there? It says, and they departed how? Quickly. Amen? Quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by his feet and worshipped him. So we see the resurrection, the instruction, the submission. Verses 11 through 15, you see the falsification. What did they say? You just, here's some money. You tell him his disciples came and stole him away. And that phrase there is very interesting. At the end of verse 15, it says, at that time of Matthew's writing, this saying is commonly reported among the Jews. And I wonder if it was the saying of that his disciples came and stole him away, I think so. Or if it was that it was a lie. Amen. Very interesting. Just a great thought. on that there. But then, verse 17, we see a great contradiction. The resurrection and the instruction and submission and the falsification. What's the contradiction? Boy, don't you see this in your own life? Verse 17. It says there, and when they saw him, they worshiped him. And some doubted. Did you ever find yourself 1 minute worshiping and another minute doubting? Or is that just me? Yeah. By the way, it's comforting to me that here was the risen Christ with nail prints in his hands, right there with him, the ones that he had been with for 3.5 years. And some worshiped, and some doubted. You say, why is that comforting to you, Pastor? Because I struggle with doubts, and so do you. They had him physically right there in front of them. He said he was going to rise from the dead, and he did. And there he was right in front of them, and they still struggled with some doubts. After the contradiction, praise God, we have the declaration. Verse 18. What did Jesus say? He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. I love that. Jesus declared himself to be the Son of God with power, Romans tells us. Amen. That probably said right there, I am omnipotent. Ladies and gentlemen, only God is omnipotent. All power is given unto me. But then we see the commission. The commission in verses 19 and 20. It'll be where we'll focus the rest of our message, really. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then lastly, we have the obligation. God doesn't just give us a commission and say, well, I'll see if you can get it figured out. He says there, his obligation is this, lo, I am with you always. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, that obligation matters. Why? Because of what he said in his declaration. All power is given to me, and I'm with you always. That's important. That's important. He says, look, I know I'm going to ask you to do what seems like an impossible task. All nations? Getting the gospel to everybody? But it's okay. I've got all power, and I'll be with you always until the end. Amen. Hey, missionary, that's comforting. That's comforting when the job seems too big to be done, when nobody's responding, when no doors are being opened. It's comforting to know that he's with us always. David Livingston said, it's the word of a gentleman of the strictest order. David Livingston said that verse kept him in Africa when he lost his wife and lost his arm to a lion and had malaria countless times. He said, God said, lo, I am with you always. This last message is simply entitled, The Mission of the Church. What is the mission of the church? Well, I think Ephesians 1:12, we've been studying Ephesians on Wednesday night. Again, very rich study. Very rich book of the Bible is the book of Ephesians. But chapter 1, verse 12, talking about that church at Ephesus, says that we should be to the praise of His glory. The church should be to the praise of His glory. And John chapter 15, verses, you know what, let's go there. Hold your place in Matthew. Let's go over to John chapter 15, please. Kind of a larger portion of Scripture. I like to read that. John 15, I'm just going to start reading. You catch up when you get there. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth what, church? Much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, as men do gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. Remember that we should be to the praise of his glory. Herein is my Father glorified, that what? Ye bear much fruit. Jump down to verse number 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. What is the mission of the church? The mission of the church, ladies and gentlemen, is to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ and to bear fruit. Could I say it this way? To bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ by bearing fruit. Amen? The church, not the preacher, not the deacon board, not the staff, all of us together. It's one of the things that has so blessed my heart over the last 2 years here in our church is our missions giving increase. Because all that is, ladies and gentlemen, is us desiring to do what God has told us to do in this text and to see God bless it. I appreciate what Brother Cotter said, going to the Philippines. It's not me who's going to the Philippines. Yes, I'm physically going. We're going. We're going. If you put a dollar in that missions plate, you're going. You're going. Amen. So we see this here. The mission of the church is that we would bear fruit. We see four things in this text, and then I'll give you four applications about things that we must have if we're going to bear fruit. Number one, just four action verbs here. The first thing we see is going. What does it say, going back to Matthew chapter 28? What's the first word in verse 19? G-O, go. Going. Okay? Going. By the way, if we're going to have going, we already talked about this, but we're going to have a presentation. You're going to have to present your body a living sacrifice unto God. If you don't do that, you'll never go. If you don't say, God, you're mine, I can have you. One of the preachers reminded me of this when I was in Bible college. Boys, one of the dumbest things I ever did. I've done some dumb things, I can tell you that right now. Mom, be quiet over there, please. Amen. And When I was in Bible college, Brother Brown, we had this gigantic offering plate. It was like 6 feet in diameter. I mean, just huge. And we used to bring it out and say, we need a big offering, amen. And we'd walk around with that thing. And I just stood right inside of it. I just stood right inside of it. I said, if we need a big offering, I'm about 230 pounds. That's a big offering. It's what God wants. Us. I learned this. Miss Wallace, I almost called you Miss Snyder again. I'm sorry. When God gets this, he gets this. I learned that a long time ago. Amen. This has never been a problem once God gets this. Amen. That when we get the order out of order, then it becomes a problem. We get fussy. We get, ah. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, going. Go requires an individual presentation and submitting ourselves to the command to go. You know, God's still in the calling business. But a lot of folks aren't listening anymore. A lot of folks stopped listening. Go. So going, number one. Number two, we see teaching. Teaching. And what does it say there? It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. You say, Pastor, what are we going to teach? I'm glad you asked. Go to the book of Acts, chapter number 8. Amen. Chapter number 8 of Acts. Go, yes, going first, but then secondly, teaching. What are we to be teaching? Look at Acts chapter 8. And we have here just a great passage on what we should be teaching. Yes, it's one thing to go. I'm going to go. I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to obey the Great Commission. I'm going to go. Okay, what are you going to do once you go? Well, verse number 26 of Acts chapter 8. And the angel spake unto Philip, saying, arise and... Is that what it says? Go? Amen? Go toward the south into the way that goeth down in Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him. And just imagine this, being at a red light, amen. And having old Philip run up on your running board, amen. Whoa, amen. You might want to do that in Jackson, amen. We may get a little trigger happy. You never can tell, amen. But it says there, and he ran up in verse 30. It says, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And verse 31 could be known as the cry of the lost man. How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture where he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest thou, the prophet, this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Going, yes, teaching. What are we teaching? The gospel. The gospel. Pastor Mark, the gospel. What is it? It's the fact that God loved us. Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4 define as the gospel. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that is what the world needs. Do they always want it? No, Miss Robin, do they? You've tried to witness to some folks and they've shut you down, haven't they? But it doesn't mean they don't need it. And God's command to go give it hasn't changed. Amen. So going, yes, number one. Teaching, yes, of course, teaching. Teaching the gospel. But then, verse 19, back in Matthew, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. We don't have to spend too much time on baptism. We've talked about it through this series, but baptism is a few things. Baptism, when we get baptized, we identify with Christ. We identify with His death, burial, and resurrection. Something else, not only identification, but it's a declaration of conversion. It's a declaration that, yes, I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And in that, it's a public profession, baptism is. I thank God for the day I got baptized. I remember I had... And by the way, baptisms are always great to invite lost family members too. Lost family members come to a baptism, you know. So here I am, Miss Leonard, and I'm getting baptized, and I got my long hair, and I got it all ponytailed back. And as Pastor Tharp used to say, he said all the women would be jealous because I didn't have any split ends. Amen. Hallelujah. And hanging back there, and the pastor says, we're in the water, and the tank was a little different. We used to kid about it all the time. It was right on the platform. It was the kind you grab and then you pull up and you hook to the wall. And we used to say if the preacher preached too long, we'd just open up the baptistry and just drop them right in there. Amen. And I remember standing there in the water and the preacher, you know, asked me, he said, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? I said, yes, I have. And is your desire to live for the Lord? I said, yes, it is. I said, okay, I baptize you, my brother. And we did the whole thing. And I remember Brother Lawley, my long hair hanging down. And I went down in the water. And you know, I'm a pretty big guy. He really had to, you know, jam me down there. I'll forget the time I baptized a guy right up there. It was about 350 pounds. And we displaced a lot of water. I can tell you that. The back end of the choir got a tidal wave. And I went down in the water, boom, and then came back up. And I jumped out of the water. I was so happy. And my ponytail came up and cracked me like a whip. Just went, you know, pow, right under the chin. Oh, my goodness. About time to get that cut. Amen. Lord worked. Amen. Baptizing. Going. Teaching. Baptizing. What's the last one, Pastor? Teaching them to... Where are we going here? Is that me? Did I mess something up there?
Batteries, we doing good on batteries? Say what? Is that me? Okay. Apparently, Bryce didn't like that story about my ponytail. I'm sorry, Brother Bryce. Amen. Discipling. Discipling. Not only teaching them the gospel, but teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. You know, that's done through encouraging Bible reading. That's done through Sunday school. That's done through Wednesday night service. That's done through the teaching of the Word of God. Many times discipleship can be one-on-one over a cup of coffee. But I'll tell you this, organized discipleship be through the church. It's why we have Sunday school. It's why that if you have a child like mine that has come up through the Sunday school program, Pastor Mark, when you get to teaching on Jonah, they already know a lot of the Jonah story. Why? Because they've been discipled through the days and through the time. Amen. So discipling is part of the mission of the church. Amen. So let me give you some applications. For the local church to fulfill its mission concerning the mission of the church, there needs to be some things present in the church. And I think we have these, but I think we always need to be maintaining them. Good things always need to be maintained, don't they? They're easily destroyed in this world of woe. Can I tell you the first thing that we need, if we're going to fulfill our mission as a church, if we're going to be going and teaching and baptizing and discipling, and by the way, going includes missionaries and supporting missions and carrying gospel tracts and knocking doors and witnessing to your coworker and all that. If we're going to do that, we're going to have some things in this church. I'm just going to throw them at you. We'll be done. Number one, we're going to have affection. Affection. When the Pharisee came to try to trip Jesus up and asked him what the great commandment was, Brother Lawley, he didn't hesitate. He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Jesus said in John 13, 35, 34 and 35, "A new commandment write I unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." You see, when a church has fighting and strife, you know what? We can't fulfill our mission. We just can't. We can't. We're too busy fighting each other. And the devil just sits back and laughs. Because there's people on the other side of the world that are waiting for a missionary to be sent, but we don't have the money to send them because we're squabbling. Amen? There has to be affection. And by the way, the order's correct. When we have an affection for God, we'll have an affection for one another. And when we have an affection for God and one another, we'll have an affection for sinners. We'll care what happens to sinners. We'll care. So if we're going to fulfill the mission of the church, we're going to need to have an affection. By the way, you need an affection for the Word of God. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalm 119, 97. Not only affection, but something very important also. And that is, when we talk about affection, that's love. But something else, and that's unction. Unction. And that is, I think the next series, Lord willing, you pray for me. The next series I think I'd like to do is on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I feel that the Holy Spirit is so misunderstood. Even in my own life, I feel like many people misunderstand the Holy Spirit. And when I think of unction, I think of God's simple command, Brother Jim, in Ephesians 5, 18. And that's this. The command is this. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, if we're seeking the filling of the Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, that unction of the Spirit. And by the way, it's not just for preachers. You should have the filling of the Spirit when you sing the songs. When you shake hands, you should desire to be filled with the Spirit. Hey, listen, when we have that, the filling of the Spirit, each one of us in our lives, we're certainly not going to be full of self and selfish desires because the Holy Spirit is filling us. And I'm telling you, without the filling of the Holy Spirit, we can't accomplish our mission. Amen? We need it. So not only do we have their affection, which is love, but unction, which is the letting the Holy Spirit lead, letting Him fill us. And then thirdly,
something that we are required to have for the mission, to fulfill our mission, is administration. Romans 12:8 talks about them. Let him that rule do it with simplicity. That word rule, it's a word I don't like very much as a pastor, rule, because it applies to pastors. If you read qualifications talking about one of the qualifications of a pastor is that he rule his own house well. Why? Because if he know not how to rule his own house, how then shall he rule the church of God? Administration. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm no better than anybody else, and I know you know that. Please say amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay. But there is a structure that God set up in the church. There is officers. There is an administrative structure that God ordained. I didn't make it up, and if I had my way, I wouldn't be part of it. But I didn't call myself a long time ago. I didn't call myself into the ministry. There's administration, and that is simply this. Affection, love, we need that, yes. Unction, letting the Holy Spirit lead. But administration is leadership. Leadership. Not only love and letting the Holy Spirit lead, but leadership. And then lastly, and I want to go to these verses if we could. Affection, unction, administration. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll be done with just these two texts here. A text in Ephesians and a text in Philippians, please. I said I was going to be done, and all the kids said, amen. Some of their parents did too, silently, amen. I heard that. God bless you. I know these potlucks are long days. But we didn't have 10 in a row, and all God's people said, who would do such a thing? What kind of an idiot would have 10 potlucks in a row? I don't know who that is. Moving right along. Amen. Thank God that one's under the blood. Pastor Donald, Marissa, and Lindsay. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. How do we walk worthy? Verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Can I put forbearing right down on the table where everybody can reach the cookies? It means to put up with one another. That's what it means. It doesn't mean you have to agree with everybody, and it doesn't mean you even have to like everybody. It says forbearing one another in love. My mom's down to one dog. She came with three. We've been forbearing with Hershey's chocolate. No, amen. We've been forbearing one another. No, Miss Mary, it's not true. Amen. I've joked about that, and my mom knows. But we joked about that when mom came to live with us, and the blessing that it is. And people say, hey, what do you think of all those dogs? And I said, I love my mom. Right, mom? This is true. Amen. I forbeared. I put up with those dogs, bless God. Amen. That's a funny illustration, but listen, there's a lot of churches that aren't accomplishing their mission because they refuse to forbear one another in love. We're to forbear one another in love. What else does it say? I mean, this is a blessed passage. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a good thing going here.
Yes, we do.
I hope you know that. We got a good thing going here. Is it perfect? No. Are there issues that have to be dealt with? Absolutely. There's things we got to take care of. Most times, if we would just take care of our issues, they wouldn't be church issues. Amen? But listen, endeavoring to keep the bond of the Spirit. That's work. I preached a whole message on that. It's work. It's work. Now go with me over to Philippians chapter 2. And we'll close here. What do we need in the church to fulfill our mission? We need affection, love. We need unction, letting the Holy Spirit lead. We need administration, leadership. And what's this last one in Ephesians and Philippians? I'll tell you what it is. We need cooperation, and that's learning to get along. We need cooperation. If Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. How do we do that? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Amen? Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, when we have the mind of Christ, we have the mind of a servant, and a servant is interested in cooperating to get the job done. Doesn't matter what we do. I loved it. Was it this week, Brother Leonard? I can't even remember how far back it was. Brother Leonard said, Pastor, it was a work day. He said, Pastor, can you do something for me? I said, absolutely. He said, take out all the ceiling tiles in the men's bathroom. I said, yes, sir. Brother Leonard was in charge. Amen. He said, that's what you need done. I said, okay. I went in there. And I'm telling you, you've never seen a better ceiling tile removal job in all your entire life. Yeah, I'm working on the humility right now. Humble and proud of it, amen? And then Brother Leonard came to me and said, he said, Pastor, did you take the ceiling tiles out of the men's bathroom? I said, sure did. Didn't you look? He said, well, we were kind of thinking the downstairs bathroom. That since that's the one we're working on. And then Brother Leonard gave me the great line, what we have here is a failure to communicate. Then I walked around and said, with my lower lip hanging, I said, that's why nobody ever asked me to do stuff. And Pastor Donald came and fixed my mistake. And I went downstairs, and by the way, you thought the first job was great, Brother Law. You should have seen the second job. I'm telling you, I really did the job down there. Hallelujah. There was a cloud of dust all over. I was breaking those things up and breaking them down. Hey, listen, servants aren't interested in credit or glory. And when we're cooperating, and part of that is learning to get along. One of the greatest things in my life, it's amazing how God ordains our lives. When we step back and we look at God ordaining our lives, one of the greatest things that happened to me was when I got my first job. I gave my testimony last week about I got my first job and I was an apprentice. And Brother Ken, we were salary represented, so we didn't have to join the union. But everybody that we were working with was union guys. And they all knew that we were salary represented. If you've never had that situation, let me tell you, it's a little thorny. Okay? The union folks didn't like us very much. And their bosses said, we want you to train these guys. So we would go to an area, like we would go to the heat treat area and sit there for a month and they would train. So we'd go to the plating area and train for a month. We go to the shop peanut. And I'll never forget, we went to the sheet. I went to the sheet metal area. That was my area for a month. And the man, I could see his face right now. His name was Ray. And I was working with Ray. I was 18 years old. And Ray said, look, I'm union. You're not. They said you have to sit next to me. But I don't have to talk to you, and I don't have to teach you anything. So you sit there for 8 hours. And I'm thankful, Brother Jeff, I said, yes, sir. And I sat on that bench. I'm going to tell you, those are long days. Watching a guy, tink, 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 you know. And I'm just sitting here. So finally, literally, probably 3 days later, he says to me, so where are you from? I said, I'm from Westfield, Massachusetts. Westfield, huh? That's up by Springfield, right?
Yes, sir. So you live there, and the next thing you know, we got to talking. I had done what he said, and I was forbearing with him. I didn't realize it at the time. I was just like, look, that's what he wants. That's what we're going to do. And it was amazing that after I worked there for a month for the Downing, I would go to another area, and I would walk by the area, and Ray would say, hey, Rich, come here, come here, come on over. I'm telling you, it was an incredible experience when I think about it in my life, when I think about where I am now. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, if lost people can do that with one another,
yeah.
We as the family of God, amen,
yeah.
We're required. Not only that, we have the Spirit of God inside us to just get along with another, to reach out to one. Instead of getting offended at somebody when maybe they don't treat you the way you should, why don't you, in love, realize that maybe they're having a rough time? Maybe they got something going on that you don't know anything about. Hey, maybe they just got a doctor report.
Yeah.
Maybe they're underwater in their mortgage. Maybe there's all kinds. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to fulfill our mission as a church, our mission is what? Going, teaching, baptizing, discipling. Amen. But if we're going to fulfill that mission, we've got to have affection. We've got to have love. We've got to have unction. We've got to have leading of the Holy Spirit. We've got to have administration. We've got to have leadership. And we've got to have cooperation, and that's learning to get along. Amen. The family of God. Family of God. Father, thank you for this series on the church.